Judges chapter number 15. I'd be honest, I thought I had everything worked out that I was going to do tonight, and I came in, got to look at some of these scriptures this afternoon, and give you just to give you some truth from this chapter. And this is, I guess, about our fourth message about Samson, and a strong man, a strong truth. And so I hope it's been help to you so far. If you find that, stand in honor of the reading the Word of God, Judges chapter 15. I hope I didn't say 1 Samson or 2 Samson. I'm in Judges chapter 15. You know the spiel. You hear my voice. I am medicated again to make it through the service. And I hope I'm touched in more ways than one. Amen. Judges chapter 15, the Bible says, "But it came to pass within a while, after the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go up to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her." Let's look at the last couple of verses of this chapter. The Bible says in verse number 14, "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men thereof. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and will fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of that place En Hakkor." In Hakkor, which is in Lehi, unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. You can be seated. Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name. I am grateful for your mercy, grateful for your grace, God. I think about the good songs this youth choir sang. I'm glad, God, that you opened up my blinded eyes one day and saved me. Thank you, God, for your deliverance and your mercy. Thank you, God, for the change you make in our lives. God, I thank you for the privilege to be back in your house tonight. Thank you, God, for these that have come. I pray, God, that you would open hearts and ears, Lord, to be receptive to the Word of God. And Lord, as they're open, I pray you'd give me the power to deliver. Lord, I need you to touch me physically, but God, I need you to touch me spiritually. God, I desire to preach with your touch and your power and your enabling help tonight. God, I pray that you'd accomplish your divine purposes in this place tonight. I pray you'd speak to hearts, and I pray that Christ receive all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It was my intention to read the entire chapter. If I started wading into that, I said, I probably need to save a little bit more of my voice for the message tonight. And I preached a little harder this morning than I intended to. But if you know anything about preaching, if you knew anything about the call of God, you'd understand it. It gets heavy on your heart. It's going to get hot in your mouth. Amen. And so I just want to be a help. As I looked at this chapter tonight, I'm basically going to outline some truths to you tonight. You know, we realize this is the fourth message we talked today about Samson, how he had got into that unholy union with this woman there at Timnath, and now he's got upset and he's left and he's gone home. But here's Samson in, he's gone home for a little while and has got all geared up for another run up Fool's Hill. And as he starts up Fool's Hill in this chapter 9, he finds himself right at rock bottom. And as we look at this, I want to preach just a little while on Samson's first trip to rock bottom. And I want to look at some landmarks on the highway as he took this trip to a rock bottom. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, some of it's going to be a little repetitious. We're talking about Samson. The story keeps telling us the same thing. We're not going to get far away from the same truth of a man that was vastly disobedient. So I want to give you a few things tonight. I covet your prayers. I hope that you can listen through the rattle, through the difficulty of my voice tonight. But I want to be a help to you. tonight. First of all, the first thing that led to him hitting rock bottom was he was divorced by his wife. You know, as you read in the story, I don't know how much time went by between these chapters, verse chapter 14 and chapter number 15, but Samson got the bright idea after she had turned on him that he was going to go back down there to her, but he found out right off the bat the things weren't as they seem. But let me say this again. I know I mentioned divorce this morning. I wouldn't hurt anybody for anything in the world. There's things in this life that I have experienced. I've experienced death, but I've not experienced this. I didn't grow up in a home that was divorced. I grew up in a single parent home, but it was because of death. But I can't imagine that denial. I can't imagine that being hurt and wounded by somebody that you love and you gave your entire heart to. So when I say things about this tonight, it's warnings to those that have never been there. I wouldn't hurt or disrespect or wound you in any way, but I want to remind you this. The first thing, he was divorced by his wife. Why did they divorce? It was foolishness. I say again, he should not have married her. You gonna preach that again? I'm gonna tell you again. I'm gonna warn you again. There's people that don't mix saved people and lost people don't mix in marriage. And that's the whole reason this mess. He went shopping at the wrong store. He was shopping for the wrong person. And I'll reiterate that tonight. When you go looking for a wife, child of God, you need to stay in the family. Amen. But it was foolishness. Quite obvious we're not going to be here long. Amen. But not only that, but he forsook her. He had made a commitment and a vow to her when he married her that he would stay with her. And I know he shouldn't have married her, but he was at fault. He should have never left her. He should have loaded her up and her belongings and took her back to his house where he belonged. Amen. But he was wounded. They say, we're going down a road now. He was divorced by his wife. But then we will see he was despised by the Philistines. Why did the Philistines despise him? Well, first of all, when he got back and found out that he was divorced, I'm giving you the story, he retaliated to his in-laws. I can't imagine how in the world that Samson could pull this off. But the Bible says that he caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, put firebrands in those tails, set them on fire, and turned them loose in the fields of the Philistines. Everything was right. Turn this microphone on there and you turn this pulpit. Worked pretty good. I'm going to try this, save my voice a little while. But he turned them loose in their corn, in their fields, everything that they had. He turned Samson. Why has Samson done this, they asked. They said, because the man gave his wife away to somebody else. And so they went and got that family and noticed they burned them. If you back up the chapter, you remember why that this woman betrayed Samson? Because she was afraid that she'd be burned and she suffered for her sins anyway. But he was despised by the Philistines. And then Samson retaliated to the Philistines after that they, I apologize, this is as difficult to do as it is to hear. Amen. All right. Because of Samson, when this happened, Samson retaliated against the Philistines. After they killed them, he went after them. The Bible says in our text that they smote them hip and thigh. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if that's a euphemism or if it's literal. In slang, he kicked their tails. That's exactly what happened. I don't know, but it was a great slaughter is what the Bible said. And I want to tell you something. I want to remind you something. Like when I preached this morning and you get dealing with sin in your own life, when you start dealing with sin and you start going after the flesh and denying the flesh, it's going to fight back. And that's what happened with Samson. He went after the devil. He went after the flesh, and it began to fight back. But I think about this on his road down to the bottom. We're getting somewhere. But then I want you to see not only that, but he was deserted by his people. Here's Samson, he's an Israelite. And due to his actions to the Philistines, the Philistines came upon the land, brought men up, and they had basically attacked. And they're spread out all over the land there. And Israel says, why are you attacking us? We've done nothing. And they says, it's because of Samson. Why did they desert him? The first reason I believe they deserted him was, one, because of their carnality. They were adjusted to being under the bondage of the Philistines. They became used to having the flesh control them. That's how Christians do. We get used to doing what the flesh wants, get used to doing what the devil wants, but they were used to that. They were adjusted And I'm moving fast. You'll figure that out for all of our sakes. But they were afraid. They're afraid of the Philistines. They had absolutely no courage. Now, why in the world would you have courage? You're not living for God. You're not praying. You're not serving the Lord. Why in the world would you think God would deliver you from anything? Why would you think that would happen? But they were afraid. But another reason they deserted him, and I mentioned it before, was because of Samson's character. Samson was born to be their leader. Samson was born to be their deliverer. But Samson had no testimony. He had no credibility with these people. They knew about the woman. They knew he was mixing with the Philistines. And at this moment, when he could have been their deliverer, when he could have delivered them, they wouldn't even follow him. And I have to be honest, I can't blame them. I can't blame them at all for not wanting to follow them. Listen, your testimony is everything. Your testimony matters. I've said this before. It matters what people think about you. It matters. How can you help somebody when they don't even believe you're saved? They look at your life. They can't even believe that you're a Christian. But then the last thing I want to say, in the midst of all this, and I'm going fast, it's mercy, but I want you to know he was delivered by the Lord. Boy, even Samson, after all this, as sorry rotten as he was, when all those people turned their back on him, those 3,000 men came to Samson. They told him what's going on. He said, "Well, you promised me that you're not going to kill me." Well, that didn't matter because they were going to turn him over to the Philistines, and that was their intention to kill him. And they turned him over to the Philistines, and they tied him up. The Bible says the Philistines got a hold of him. They begin to shout for the battle. Here comes the Lord right in time. He's just about at the bottom now. Right on time. The Bible says that those ropes around his hands became as flax that had been burnt. Boy, the Spirit of God moved mightily on him. Why in the world would God move on somebody like Samson? Why in the world would God move on somebody like you? Why in the world would God move on somebody like me? But I want you to know the Bible says he moved on him and he aided him. He broke the ropes. So here's this man, he's untied, but he's surrounded by all these Philistines, and he looks down, and there's a jawbone. And God provided him a weapon. He picked up that jawbone. He cut into them like a whirlwind. He began to lay them out and knock them out. I can't imagine. I'm still stuck on the hip and thigh thing, how that he did that and what the gist of that was. And here he's made a weapon out of a skull of a donkey. And he's led into them. He's stacking them up like cordwood. And God's done this great deliverance. And then after this, we find Samson. We see as he's delivered by the Lord, he's delivered him in the war. But then here we are. We got Samson. And he's made his way all the way to the bottom. He begins to sing his little song in these verses I read to you about how we'd slain the thousands. And in verse number 16, with the jawbone of an ass heaps upon heaps, the jawbone of ass have I slain 10,000. And he's bragging on himself, and he cast aside that jawbone. And then he looks at himself, "I've got nothing else. I'm completely weary. I'm completely worn in this fight and in this situation." And the thing is, for the first time, I believe in Samson's life, he's right where he needed to be. He's right down at rock bottom. I'm glad that God, the reason he got to rock bottom was because he took credit for the fight. And then another reason he cast aside his weapon. I'm going to tell you, that jawbone is such a great type of the Word of God. It's unbelievable. Hang on to your weapon. Amen. First time I ever preached here, March 7th, 2004, I preached about this jawbone. Don't try to get a tape. The power went out and I preached in the dark. How about that? You remember that? But what cured this? What do you do when you get to the bottom? You ever been to the bottom? Boy, where do we find Samson? We find Samson, he prayed. Finally, Samson prayed. If you read these texts and you read about the life of Samson, what you find about Samson is a lack of prayer. You find a lack of piety and a lack of devotion to God. You find him praying one other time, and that was when he was in that temple asking God to give him his strength one more time before he wound up taking his own life. But he prayed. He finally prayed. But then his position, he finally looked at himself as a servant. He said in those words, he said, "God, I'm a servant. I'm going to die. But aren't you glad when you take that low position, you're right in the right place?" And the Bible says that God clove out a hollow place. I have to be honest. I've always preached it was in that jawbone. But to be honest with you, that word there, the name of the place they're at, means the place of the jaw. So I don't know if it's in the jawbone or if it was a place there that he clave out water. But God, in the midst of his weakest moment, in a rock bottom, as sorry, dirty rock as he was, God gave him water. God gave him water, and God ministered to him in that weak spot. In that weak spot, he ministered to him, Samson got a drink of something. I mean, he got a hold of something. I hope you really can notice, and I wish I could express this to you clear. I wish I could talk and preach this like it's in my heart, but Samson got something. That man that had been womanizing, that man that had been running, he got a drink of something that day when he reached rock bottom. And the Bible was said in verse number 20 that after that, he judged Israel for 20 years. For 20 years after that, there wasn't any womanizing. For 20 years after that, there wasn't any of this junk going on. I mentioned to you this morning, I couldn't figure out why in the world or how in the world he got into the Faith Hall of Fame. It might have been those 20 years as referred to in verse 20. I don't know if you've been to the bottom. You may not always get to the bottom like Samson got to the bottom. Sometimes it's in the battle, but I tell you, you look at what's related. It's his own doings got him there. It's the deeds of others, and here he is right smack dab at the bottom, and I'm glad, thank God, at the bottom he run into the Lord. I remember I walked into my communications class once when I was in Bible college. And Brother Jamie Foxx turned around, he took his dry erase marker, and he wrote on the board. He said, grace is like water. It always runs to the lowest place. And I'm glad grace found Samson, and I'm glad grace can find you. I don't know where you are. I know this morning, I hit and I nailed on some stuff. But even tonight, I don't know where you are in your life, where your struggle is. I remind you, those things are what got him here. You keep living in sin. You keep running from God. You keep rebelling against God's truth. And you're going to wind up at the bottom. That's how it's going to be. But I encourage you tonight, if you're in a low place in life, like I said a while ago, whether it's from sin, whether it's from others, or just your own struggles, I'm glad God can give you water. I'm glad God has the grace that you need. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name. God, I'm grateful for your mercy, grateful for your grace. God, I hope that in the midst of all this, God, there's been able to communicate a truth to these folks in this place tonight. I pray, God, that somebody's found help, somebody's found encouragement, or somebody's found warning. God, I pray you'd take this feeble effort tonight. God, I pray that you'd have your will and way. I pray you'd bless in this invitation. I pray you'd speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.